You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. NBA trade deadline tomorrow afternoon. I guess Kyle Lowry, Aaron Gordon, just to name a few, could be moved here. Always feels like the Celtics are involved in a potential trade. Somehow Danny Ainge gets that information out to the media that they were in on the Anthony Davis sweepstakes or James Harden. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. But the Celtics never get their guy, do they? I don't know if they get Aaron Gordon or Harrison Barnes or whoever they might be interested in, but trade deadline coming up tomorrow. Jameis Winston addressed the New Orleans media yesterday, and it caught my attention for a couple of reasons. He re-signed with the Saints, another one-year deal, and he's going to compete with Taysom Hill for the starting job. Now, there was a report that he might be the front runner right now for that job. I give him credit. He took less money, kind of went in there with his tail tucked between his legs and said, all right, I got humbled. I threw 30 interceptions, and I'm here to listen and learn. I'm here to listen and learn behind Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I'm going to hit the reset button, the former number one overall pick in 2015. So he sits behind Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. And that had to be humbling. But, you know, Winston got emotional yesterday talking about how much he learned from Drew Brees. Here is a portion of that where he talks about how much he loves Drew Brees.
I love football. That's all I've done my entire life. And someone that I look up to, that I admire, that I actually could touch, was my teammate, and I had a chance to serve him. Like, man, I'm speechless to that. Like, that really gets me emotional because I really love Drew Brees. Like, I don't think he understands.
He won a national title as a freshman at Florida State. Everything seemed to come easy and then got caught up in issues in college, on the field, disappointing. By the time the Bucks moved on, Winston was veering towards being labeled a bust. And he might still be a bust, but he had to rebuild his career, and he picked a wise spot. He went to New Orleans. And we've seen other quarterbacks who thrive in the second half of their careers. Alex Smith has done this in Kansas City. Kurt Warner did that in Arizona. Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Winston seems to be in the right place, and maybe he'll be joining that list and being the starting quarterback coming up this fall. But also, there's a big difference in having Sean Payton coach you and Bruce Arians. Bruce is more of a, hey, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, where Sean Payton will be more conservative. You know, New Orleans is probably more of a defensive-minded team going into this season. You do have some weapons. Thomas is still going to be there. Alvin Kamara is going to be there, and they will help bail out Jameis Winston. But I think a more conservative game plan, can he open up the offense? Yes. Yeah. Obviously, he has a better arm than Drew Brees, but is he going to be accurate? Is he going to make good decisions? Those are the things to obviously keep an eye on when with Jameis Winston. I'd like to know how Sean Payton calls a game for Jameis Winston. Yeah, McLevin.
If you're going conservative, what about the run game with Taysom Hill? Like, have like a combo running back quarterback, like Cam Newton-ish?
This is just me. I don't think Taysom Hill's his starting quarterback. I think he's valuable, but I don't think he's a starting quarterback. You know, if you're throwing, you know, 35 times in a game, I just don't know what kind of quarterback he would be. And is he more programmed to first read's not there, let me take off? Like, that's what happens with a lot of quarterbacks. Because in college, usually your first read is open. At worst, your second read is open. Well, when you're first and second, when you go through your progressions, then what do? Now the pocket starts to shrink, and you start to get happy feet, and you start to get nervous there, and then you take off. I don't think that's what Sean Payton wants. I think he likes having that, where he comes in, he can still pass, but he can still run. But Jameis Winston, to me, makes them more dangerous. I just feel like I have a capable quarterback. I don't want him to throw for 5,000 yards. I don't want him to throw for 4,500 yards, 4,000 yards. I just want him to be good, smart, and don't take chances. And hopefully that LASIK surgery took hold and he's good. He'll be able to see 2020 in 2021.
There you go.
Okay, Todd. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks, Todd. Yes, Paul.
I'm a little fascinated about how they use Taysom Hill. Will he be purely a backup quarterback that isn't used until he's needed? Or will he be a running back, wide receiver, kick returner, H-back, and also the second string quarterback? Because that seems both risky. It's risky to put him on the field, and it's risky to not put him on the field.
Yeah, I don't know if I want him on special teams. I want to limit what he does.
But he's really good as an all-purpose player. But then you, all of a sudden, your second string quarterback, if your second string quarterback gets hurt in the game, you can't do that when there's two on the roster.
Rory McIlroy teams up with Peacock to bring you all new Golf Pass Channel. Watch premier instruction and entertainment from the golf membership program, plus daily news from Golf Channel. Sign up at peacocktv.com and start streaming now. Poll question for the final hour, McLovin.
Okay, so we had up, would you rather have Dennis Rodman or Draymond Green? It's a runaway for Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
I mean, do we want to bring up the pre-show debate and ruin the last hour, or should we save that?
What, the condiment?
A mayonnaise is the most polarizing condiment we have right now. I mean, I know you're going to talk about sriracha and you want to get into Chipotle.
I don't think there's an argument here.
I think you're in the minority.
I'm glad I'm in the minority then, because mayonnaise is horrible. It is. There's no use for it. I mean, there's use for it, but not to slather it on your turkey club. Yes, Paul.
Mayonnaise is like Duke basketball or the Yankees or Notre Dame football. You're not a casual fan. Mm. Either all in or you're all out.
Mm.
Eat that, Colin.
Yeah. What else do you have?
Okay, I have a question. We were talking about the Western Conference standings. Now, there are a lot of teams up there. Which team is the least contender, if that makes sense? Or which team has the less chance?
Because least threatening?
To win it all.
Okay.
To win it all. Start one right now, the Jazz. Two are the Suns. Three are the Clippers. Four are the Lakers. Five are the Nuggets. Six are the Blazers. Then you get into seven are the Spurs and eight are the Mavericks. How many of those eight are real threats to come out of the West? And all their records are within eight games of each other. So the eight could move up to three and the three could move down to eight.
We're assuming that Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to be healthy, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't even put the Lakers in that poll because they've proven they can win a title.
You put the Clippers in there.
The Suns?
I'm going to put Phoenix in there. It wasn't a fluke what they did in the bubble. Chris Paul's done a wonderful job there. DeAndre Ayton, underrated. Booker, obviously.
Jazz?
Yeah, I'm going to keep them in there. I keep him in there. As long as you got Conley, Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert playing well, and having three really good players, you know, how many teams have that? You know, three all-star caliber players, and they're playing well. Denver's tricky. I don't know if Denver does anything at the trade deadline.
Is Michael Porter Jr. a third player for Denver?
No. I thought this was the year that he made that leap where we go, okay, that's why he was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. But I don't think he's been that consistent. So did I answer the question?
Yeah, so we can put that poll up. The other poll, the story of the day seems to be the Washington football team on Twitter. Everyone's weighing in on that. If you were Daniel Snyder, would you keep Washington football team or would you try to come up with a new nickname?
I would have done WFC. I would have done Washington Football Club. And we joked about this when they were going to get rid of the nickname. And I said, why don't you just call yourself, you know, Washington Football Club? And then they went Washington Football Team. So they kind of did that. But I thought that it's kind of unique. And this way I don't have to worry about anything. The only thing I thought of is if you want to create merchandise, and how much of a revenue stream that is for these teams. And now all of a sudden I'm just the Washington football team. You know, there's no logo really change, just a W, right? But I don't know. That's the only thing I wondered, that what do you do with revenue with merchandise? How important is that to Daniel Snyder? WFC, Washington football team. I don't know. Yeah, McLeod, or Fritzy.
And what's your mascot exactly? Someone gets dressed up as the Capitol building or the Lincoln Monument?
Just a big W.
Just a big letter W.
Big,
that's your mascot.
Big W. Or you could have like three people in a costume and they would be the W. Just be walking around the stadium there, bouncing into things. Yes, Paul.
What percentage chance is it that Daniel Snyder is allowing the team to not have a name for another year out of spite and not out of the taking time to find the right name for this franchise, but just like billionaire, I don't want to be told what to do. So we'll just leave it as is for another year.
I think not doing anything is the best, you know, best advice for Daniel Snyder, because then you're not in the news. It's if you come out with something and then all of a sudden you say, this is what we're going to do. Then it goes back into the hopper and then everybody wants to talk about this. Then they eventually get around to everything that's going on with Washington. Daniel Snyder, just not say anything. He never does interviews. And once the season starts, seems like they're able to play football. That's it. And they have a good team. They have the potential for a team to win the division. And that's with everybody healthy elsewhere in the division. We know that they made the playoffs last year. But to be able to win that division legitimately, they have the talent there. Yeah, Paul.
The Washington football team outscored their opponents on the season last year by 6 points. The other three teams in the division, the Giants, the Cowboys, and Eagles, were outscored by 77, 78, and 84. They stink, that division.
Yeah. But this year, though, the Giants with Galladay, you get Saquon Barkley back. I'm trying to convince myself. Dallas, of course, my Super Bowl pick from last year. If all goes well, they could be 11 and 6 since we're playing 17 games. It sounds strange, right? We're going to be making that mistake. Like, what do you think they can go? 9 and 7? Oh, they're not going to play the last game? Yes, McLean.
It kills our old joke, 9 and 7 if all goes well. We've been saying that for years.
It was always 7 and 9, 8 and 8. If all goes well, 9 and 7. Now that changes. Here was a story. Don't know if you caught wind of this. The NHL is investigating a referee after that referee, who was mic'd up, was caught saying that he wanted to call a penalty against the Nashville Predators in their victory over the Red Wings on Tuesday night. Now, there's around 5 minutes into the second period, and one player is whistled for tripping, and the official is a longtime official, Tim Peel. 3 minutes after that, either Peel or his partner, Kelly Sutherland, had this to say.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in
the... Oh, boy. That was picked up on national TV. The league is looking into it, and they're looking into the severity of this incident. But now, they just came out with a statement here. Fritzy just gave this to me. National Hockey League Senior Executive Vice President of Hockey Operations Colin Campbell announced that referee Tim Peel, following his comments during the game last night between the Red Wings and the Nashville Predators, will no longer be working NHL games now or in the future. Nothing is more important than ensuring the integrity of our game, Campbell said. Tim Peel's conduct is in direct contradiction to the adherence to that cornerstone principle that we demand of our officials, that we demand of our players and our fans, coaches, and all those associated with our game. Give it what you expect and deserve. So, yeah. Play it one more time there, Seton.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early in
the... Yeah. And then his partner, Kelly Sutherland's one, saying, yeah. Yeah, Paulie.
See, and I were talking about this, and this almost seems a little out of context, this little clip here. I didn't play high-level sports, but you hear all the times that refs want to set the tone in a game. Let's say a certain team is being really chippy early, and the ref goes, you know what, I'm going to call one here to tell these guys to calm it down. Could it be something as innocent as that by the referee, and it just got caught on a mic?
Well, first of all, you have to know you're mic'd. You don't want to announce this.
Yeah.
Does it happen? Yes, I believe it happens. Do I want to announce that it happens? No. By the way, that was courtesy of Fox Sports Tennessee. Yes, Seton.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like when I first heard it, I was just like, oh, this dude's gone. And then the more that I started to think about, well, like, why would he be saying that? And yeah, you get caught on a hot mic, whether he was mic'd or it was like a parabolic mic. I don't know. Do they use those in hockey? I don't even know. But it does seem like if you want officials to be in control of the game, and just like Paul had said, sometimes they call a foul early to let everybody know we're not playing that way today. You know, and so, yeah, I wanted to get a foul on Nashville early to get them to knock that off. I don't know. I would love to hear the rest of the conversation or just have some context as to why he was saying that.
Well, I don't know if he had any more dialogue prior to or after, but I'm curious what the style of play was prior to that, that led him to say, look, I just wanted a call.
Well, I mean, that's clearly a bigger conversation that's happening. So
it should be.
Yeah. I mean that.
Yeah.
Whether it was all caught on mic or not, or it was just that 4-second soundbite, I don't know. But well, the 4 seconds sounds damning, but I don't know. I think there could be a perfectly reasonable explanation for it.
I would love to hear that. I'd love to be able to hear what his side of this is as he goes in to state his case.
Hey, sometimes in NFL officials, they call holding. Sometimes they don't. You know, well, what's the difference? Sometimes they're like, hey, we're going to call holding early because we're not doing that today. And other times they're not going to call it and let it go. And same game, same refs, same, you know, competitive balance.
It's weird. If you don't have the curse word in there, I might give him the benefit of the doubt from what you're saying. But it sounds like he's vindictive. He's angry. And I just wanted to, you know, call a bleeping penalty on them instead of saying, you know, I got to get them to, you know, stop being chippy, you know, and I called a penalty on him. But when you do it, the way he sounds, it sounds like he's being vindictive against them. Yes, he.
And why did his buddy go, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Like, his buddy's right there in lockstep. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, you want to get one early. Yeah, I know.
Yes, Todd.
Imagine a home plate ump saying to the first or third base ump at the end of the inning, it's like, I was looking for anything close to the plate just to punch that guy out. Anything near the strike zone, I was calling him.
I'm sure that happens.
It's not on a microphone.
But not on a microphone. Yeah, Paul.
But see, this is a little different because they're judging violence here. This is a guy calling a penalty because a team may be getting too violent. An NBA ref, let's say there's 4 or 5 hard fouls. He goes, you know what, I'm going to call a flagrant here because you guys have been getting out of line. And the other thing, they're kind of branded this guy, you know, the umbrella over this thing is the integrity of the game and betting. And that's why they don't want this getting out there because they think, oh, this ref has it in for a team because of the gambling aspect. And that's a badge once you get on you can't get off. That, you know, I hope they fully investigated this and made sure they clear him from any misdoing.
Well, I don't know. They made this decision that he's not going to be working any games. Did they just do this just to get him off the ice and then talk to him? And then you got to fully vet this, because if you're not going to let this guy work for this foreseeable future, he's going to hire a lawyer, and then what happens? Do we find out even more about, you know, referees? Yes. Yes, Fritz.
The league can't let him skate on that. That's just
Thank
something
you.
That...
Okay. But he's on thin ice right now.
Oh, you got it.
Nice, Dan.
Well, I love when you work with us. Like,
should have checked that mic.
Oh. Was the word he used puck? Is that what was bleeped out?
He was really sticking it to the Predators.
Anybody else?
I'm going to set this one out.
Okay.
You guys are rolling.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, it was a power play by you, Dave.
Okay. All right.
What's the goal in punishing him?
Okay.
So
All right.
Fading a little.
Yeah.
The winner, whoever gets to work in Zamboni somehow wins.
I'm going to save the show and take a break here. It's
going 5-hole.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey.
Ah, that hurts.
Ew.
Ouch.
You're standing on your head right now.
Yeah.
You should say face off and just come up and tell everyone, hey, I shouldn't have said that. Gotta address the public.
Okay. Now I know why you were pushing this story so hard for the last 2 hours.
Yes, sir, you get those puns going.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
All right, the great Jim Parsons.
Is that guy getting his job back? I wouldn't bet men on it.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It works.
Why not?
Anybody? Everybody? We're all good?
Our Stanley Cup run is over with all these puns. Now we're good.
I knew you couldn't.
That was the last one. I'm going to stop.
Okay,
that was
it.
A great one.
Oh!
Oh! Gretzky
reference. Yeah! Let's go!
That's what I'm talking about.
Take a break. 21 after the hour. I think this is the Dan Patrick Show. I've been telling you about Built Bars for a while, and I hope you take me up on it. A lot of you have, and yes, you're welcome, but I don't deserve any credit. It's Built Bars. 100% real chocolate. It's high protein, low carb, low sugar, gluten-free, and with every bite, you're going to go, are you sure this is a protein bar? Because normally something that tastes, you know, supposed to taste good or be healthy for you doesn't taste good, he tried to say. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP10. Get 10% off your order. Cookies and cream, salted caramel. There's mint.
Apple pie. I'll help you out. Lemon, raspberry, just whatever flavor you could think of. They got it.
Let me just tell the audience, if you want one, just go to Todd's house because
they're in the cabinet. They're in the drawer. That's all right. I'll share, maybe.
Order a box today. Do your body and taste buds a favor. New flavors all the time. Check them out at BuiltBar.com. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code DP10. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales service and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything, go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We have our celebrity bracket challenge, and we have our usuals, the regulars who always compete. And at the top of the list, to no one's surprise, is Jim Parsons, who leads the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, and he is Mr. College Basketball, and it's great to bring in the Emmy and Golden Globe-winning actor Jim Parsons. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
One surprise. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's nice to see you.
It's great to see you. Where would winning the Celebrity Bracket Challenge rank among all the great awards, honors that you have?
Middle, lower.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I don't know what, I think I always ask this every year. I don't remember. We don't get anything for it.
No.
Yeah.
Respect.
I mean, well, okay.
And when's the last time you had respect, Jim? I mean, we're giving you respect.
I don't respect myself for these picks. I mean, this was darts at a wall. I mean, unless this represents divine intervention on some part that I'm this high up the ranking.
Well, you did play God on Broadway.
That's true. I am connected.
Yes, you are. What is your philosophy here in filling out your brackets?
I ran across an article. It was like, look out for these upsets. I thought, you know what? That's a great place to start.
Okay. All right.
And I picked a couple of those, and then I let the rest fall into place, as it were.
Well, a Houston native, though, you obviously have the Houston Cougars winning it all, right?
No, I didn't, which was, I don't know if it's a grave error yet, but I believe, isn't that the Illinois bracket?
Yes, you have Illinois. Yeah, you have Illinois winning it all.
Yeah, which is not going to happen.
No, it's not.
That's an impossibility.
Well, that's why I figured we'd have you on this week, because next week we won't have any use for you.
Yeah.
What is the coolest award you do have?
The love of Todd.
Fritzy is...
No.
You can't put that on a mantle, Jim. You don't want to put that on a mantle, Jim. The love of Fritzy.
I meant my own Todd here at home.
Oh, your husband. My bad. I thought you were talking about Fritzy.
But that's ridiculous. I'm not so stupid as to use love as an award. Come on. I don't know. It's my birthday today.
Todd, you did not know it was Jim's birthday.
Yes, he did.
I should have mentioned it to you as the host of the show, but I didn't know it was his birthday. I wished him a happy birthday as part of my pitch to let him know why today would be the best day to have him on this week.
That's basically akin to throwing me on, but it's a different Jim Parsons. I mean, what else don't you tell him? It's ridiculous. Well,
happy birthday.
Thank you. So my reward is that I've been blessed with another year. How many times am I going to have to word that before it's not a negative?
Let's try it again. You know, it's like Big Bang. You get another take here, Jim. So then, ready, 3, 2, 1.
I'm so happy to begin adding up the days that will total to my 49th year. This is wonderful. It is, though. It really is, you know.
But you don't look any older. Do you want to look older?
I'm not doing anything to try and look old. I mean, like, I'm not, like, you know, I didn't pick smoking back up again hoping it'd be wrinkled.
Yeah, but I don't know if you, because you look the same.
Yeah. Well, I don't. It's that you can't. The lighting in here is shitty, and
it's bad. The lighting is bad.
It's bad. I'm sorry.
This is, you can't say that on CBS. You didn't do that on Big Bang.
I have been in a hole away from all the normal things for so long. I don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore. I don't know what it takes to be on air somewhere anymore.
Recap the last year if you can.
Well, this time last year, I actually had COVID. We both did. And so that was not a great celebration. Mm. Although I still had a cocktail, I'll be quite frank with you. Best part of that day. And then I don't know. And then I slowly worked my way back up into feeling less, and dark and scared about everything. That's sort of embarrassing to admit, but honestly, I reflect on, like, before about 3 months ago, and I'm like, oh my God, I had the darkest view of the world. I was just freaked out.
Was Hollywood shut down for the most part the last year?
Well, a lot of it was, but you'd be surprised at how many things are working and how many things they're making and the ways they go about it. We're producing one show on Fox right now, Call Me Cat, it's called, with Mayim, and they went through their whole season. And I mean, we watched a feed from it here in New York, like we couldn't be there. And It was really well done, and the way that they could jump through hoops with the masks and the shields and the feeds to faraway places, I was really impressed. But it looks like a headache. I guess you sort of get used to it, but bleh.
We're talking to the popular Jim Parsons, Emmy and Golden Globe winning actor, and he's celebrating his birthday today. I just read this story about you auditioned for The Office.
Yes.
But what role did you audition for?
I don't remember. It was either Jim or Dwight, which tells you a lot of exactly why I wasn't right for it. There wasn't a role that I was a ringer for. He could do this one or he could do that one. But I don't even know. But it was one of those, because I knew, I didn't know well, but I knew Rainn Wilson and I knew John Krasinski. And I think that's why I can't remember who it was, because I knew that whatever part it was, somebody that I sort of vaguely knew got it.
But that's one of those where you want to get the part, but then is there part of you that knows I'm might not be the best person for this part?
Oh yeah, every time. I mean, almost every time. I've been very fortunate with that, or I'm just very honest with myself.
But did you know you were the right person for Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know what they would think, but I knew that I felt that I would be in the final mix. Like, I felt that way about it. With The Office, this just shows how stupid I am about Hollywood. I thought, what a dumb idea for a show. It was if we wanted a show about an office in America, we would have done it already. We don't need BBC copy or whatever it was on. But I was wrong. I have no foresight with things like that, apparently.
But if you got that role, then you don't get Sheldon and Big Bang Theory.
That's exactly right. The whole everything for a reason.
Yeah. What are you working on now?
Well, I mean, there's a movie I've been working on that we're hoping to shoot in the fall at some point. So that would really be the next thing. I have kept doing voiceovers for Young Sheldon. They sent me, in fact, you might be able to see it sort of. You see that tall box there?
Yeah.
It's a whole voice kit. They mailed me this so they can record me. And so every few weeks I come up here and record a few episodes of that.
Wow, that's gotta be exhausting there, Jim. You
really, you walk upstairs.
Yeah, and you get to
sleep for a little while, and I go back and take a nap, and then I got up for a cocktail, and then it's time to go back to bed again.
Is this the highlight of your day? Like, what do you do after this?
Today I'll eat right after this, okay. And then I will go to Best Buy. Actually, I'm going to walk over to Best Buy, and I need a cord to hook up. Todd bought me a turntable for my birthday, and the speaker that came with it didn't come with a wire that hooked them up. So I need to go get a 3.5 millimeter. Blah, blah. I have no idea.
What kind of albums do you have?
Well, I just started. In fact, I thought I was going to get, we are kind of doing a renovation thing. So I thought, well, when that's over, I'll get a turntable. But I bought my nephew one for his birthday back in January, and I got really excited about the idea. So I started buying vinyl, and I had four albums arrive this past week, but I had no turntable. And then I didn't know Todd was getting me one. But right now I have four. I have the Pixies Doolittle. I have PJ Harvey, Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea. I have the Smiths, The Queen Is Dead, and The War on Drugs, a live album, Live Drugs.
Okay.
That's my collection. Four.
What constitutes a collection? Like, what's the number that I don't know if four is a collection, Jim.
No. Well, I mean, it's what I have right now, Dan, and I can play them. Yep. So, you know.
Well, no, you can't. The speaker's not.
Oh, that's right. Well, but in a few hours from now, I think I'll be able to go play them.
But don't you have somebody who can go get you this wire? Aren't you? You're like a big time celebrity, aren't you?
What do you mean? No. We don't roll like that for the most part.
You don't roll like that.
No, we do our own laundry. We wash our own dishes.
Well, I do that too, but that's.
But I don't mind going to get this. Are you kidding? Any opportunity to get out fully masked, even?
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about it. And I'm very excited about the turntable. So I want full ownership of it, which includes buying this stray cord.
Will you disguise your voice when you go to Best Buy?
No, that sounds really exhausting. Also, I have a mask on.
Well, I know, but if somebody hears your voice.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. But it's been funny to suddenly be in a masked world, you know, when you're used to sometimes people recognizing you. It's very odd.
Yeah. Do you remember the Phi Slammajama?
At U of H?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was young. I wasn't there, but yeah, I remember it.
How old were you with Phi Slammajama?
I don't know. Was I 8, 7? What year was it?
That was 82, 83.
Oh, I was 9 or 10.
And you remember that?
Well, my mother went to U of H, and maybe even around that time, because she was going back for some advanced courses in education, teaching. And then Hakeem came directly out of college to the Rockets, which was a big deal because everybody was so excited because he had already been in Houston from that. So, and they talked a lot about, and a lot of it I learned probably when Clyde came to, when Drexler came to the Rockets for the championship years, because they were back together again, and that was a big story.
Hey, I watched The Flight Attendant with your
A-Lady.
Former co-star.
She's great in that.
It's her and Rosie Perez, and but Kaylee is really, really, like, it's a little jarring because you see Big Bang and then you see her in Flight Attendant where she's a mess. And I didn't know that she had those abilities because I hadn't seen that before. But
oh, she's a hot mess. Yes. She's hot mess easy.
Yes. But that turned out to be a really good show.
She's great in that. And they got a lot of attention. That's really exciting.
Well, congratulations on your temporary first place now, because it won't
That'll
last.
Be gone soon, won't it?
Yes, it will, but not our love for you.
Thank you.
And tell Todd I said hello, and happy birthday, and I hope you get to do something really, really exciting today besides going to Best Buy.
Keep up the puns, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
That's the popular Jim Parsons, Emmy, Gold Globe winning actor, big time star. What?
Keep up the puns. So funny.
Very snarky. I love it.
Todd, you could have given me a heads up on the birthday.
I probably should have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cameron Crutwig maybe telling to bring the harmonica to the interview.
Just striking out left and right.
Parsons had to ask you to say happy birthday to him.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's good. Good man. Good man. Yes. He...
That interview was the icing on the cake.
Oh, okay. All right.
One more pun.
Yeah, maybe one too many. Let's take a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back, close up shop here on the program after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, fun day. I thought the Boeheims were great. Always great to talk to Jim Parsons. And, of course, we had Mannix on as well. he's our show pinata, it feels like. I just bring in Mannix. Yell at Mannix there. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for me?
Got a few. 1973, Nate Tiny Archibald was the first NBA player to lead the league in scoring and assists in the same season. There's another guy, if he was born 10 years later, would have a lot more people talking about him. 1975, Muhammad Ali knocked out Chuck Wepner in the 15th round and retained the heavyweight title. I always thought that Sylvester Stallone attended that fight. Stallone went to a Los Angeles theater to watch a closed-circuit broadcast of the fight, and that's where he got the idea for Rocky. He did not attend in person.
He was Chuck Wepner.
Yeah,
I think loosely based off Chuck Wepner.
Yeah, the lore was that he attended the fight, but you know, I guess he saw it.
But it's not a good name if you're a fighter to be known as the Bayonne Bleeder.
Right.
I'm just...
Canvas back.
Yeah.
All right. Eight count Johnson. Doesn't work.
Jimmy don't answer the bell, Thomas.
Glass jaw. the walking concussion. Yeah, it doesn't. 1992, Mario Lemieux of the Penguins. This is a tough one, Dan. Scored his 1,000th career point in his 513th game. Tough one. I don't think anyone's going to get this. He was the second fastest player in NHL history to get to 1,000 points. Who was first?
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, that's right. It's the answer for everyone.
Yeah, it feels like Wayne Gretzky. Isn't the stat that if Wayne didn't score a goal, he'd still be the all-time leading scorer in NHL history?
With assists?
This. Yeah, I think so. That's what's amazing. Imagine the greatest scorer, if you said Kareem led the NBA in all-time assists as well. Now, LeBron's going to get up there in those numbers, but here's Gretzky, you know, with most goals and most assists. And Alex Ovechkin, I think, is about 170 goals away from Gretzky. And he's fifth in our bracket challenge as well. Yes, Paulie?
If Jerry Rice's career was half of what it is, he'd still be in the top 20 of all time in NFL receptions. So if you cut his career in half, he'd be top 20.
Let's see. Chad in Iowa. Hi, Chad. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. First, long time. 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Okay.
I'm a high school basketball official, primarily of 25 years, and I just wanted to weigh in on the hockey official on the comment.
Yeah.
First of all, we are not used to being mic'd up. It's a new area. That's a lot of pressure, as well as all the scrutiny I'm sure he's under. But I definitely, when I first heard that, my first thought was, I've had that happen. Game is fast. I miss a chicken wing or an elbow, you know, that's high. I want to make sure that player doesn't do it again. So I think in my mind, oh, I got to make sure I get that next time. I got to get him. And, you know, I might verbalize it, not be mic'd up. And he was, but I think that's wrong. And he's going to suffer for that. And that's a bad deal.
But have you ever made a call to make up for a call, or that you missed a call and then you're going to make up for it by calling that same player out?
Maybe not fouling him out. But
No, but just calling it, like you want to make up for that missed call, and you want to make sure you're kind of resetting the game and the tempo or temperature of it. Have you ever had a makeup call because you missed a call?
I think the answer is yes, but I'm not making anything up. I'm never going to make up a call, but I'm not going to miss the next one.
Okay. How, if you're this official, who says this, that he is going out of his way to make sure he calls this penalty, what can he say now? How does he make this any better?
Well, he obviously missed something or saw something that was going on in the game, and you know it needed to be handled. And I think his message was that he's not missing the next one. He's going to get it. He's going to make sure. And he's also communicating in that comment to his partners that, hey, keep an eye out here. You know, I mean, that's how I see it. That was my first instinct when I heard it too. You know, that conversation.
Well, thanks for the phone call, Chad. Yeah, it's still, you know, whether he missed a call or not, maybe he doesn't like how the game is being played, but, you know, the audio is there. Yeah, Todd.
But if it's, I'm not going to miss the next one, that's got to be, I'm not going to miss the next call on either team. When you're specifically calling out one of the two teams, you're specifically saying Nashville, and like you said, the tone with the F word that just kind of jumps out at you, like, what was that all about?
Do I think this happens? Yes. But when you're mic'd up, no. And do you want to make a call? Did you miss a call? Now you want to make up for the call? Seton, could you play it again? This is the official.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early.
Yeah. So that's Tim Peel, the NHL official. And then the NHL has come out with a statement saying that he's not going to be refereeing anytime soon. I don't know if they're just doing that, get him off the ice and then bring him in and then interrogate him. I'd like to know what else is there. If he's mic'd up, what did he say before? What did he say after that comment there? Because his fellow official is agreeing with him. But I you know, to put it in the proper context, I think that's what the NHL obviously wants to do here, but that's what I'm trying to do, and I don't have the resources to be able to find out what exactly was said after that or before that. Did he miss something that was egregious? That's what I'd be curious about. Final results of the poll question, McLevin.
Do you like mayo, yes or no?
No, oh, God, that's right.
58% yes.
I hate mayo.
No. I would have thought it was like 80 because it's very, you know, it's outselling.
I didn't know that that's the top selling condiment. Is it because you can use it in so many other things?
Probably.
Oh, like it's an ingredient in other things?
I'm guessing.
That makes
sense.
like
as Chris Mannix mentioned, tuna fish, most people use it.
Yeah. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, who didn't tell me it was Jim Parsons' birthday. Yeah.
Buddy Boeheim does not like it when his dad yells at his teammates.
But he tells his mom that dad is yelling at his teammates. I like that. McLovin?
We got a tweet from Adam Eflason saying, Jim Parsons going to get a new cord equals line change. Back to hockey puns.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
I like that. It's good.
Wrapping everything together.
Yes, yes. Seton, what did you learn today?
Buddy Bucket's a confident young man.
Yeah, and reason to be. Dad gives you the green light, and you look like mom.
A big smile on his face. You got the green light.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Paulie?
Jim Boeheim. Remembers his stats from the 1961 tournament.
What we learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales, service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to get ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. We have security cameras all around here. We have regular cameras all around here. And occasionally, I can pull up the security cameras on my phone just to see what's going on in the man cave in case somebody's goofing around and they're, you know, idle time. Mario on the golf simulator. Because I told him about, you know, the Callaway clubs that came in. And then I have the Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls here. So saw him on the simulator banging balls there. And then I, of course, come in and I go, who had the simulator on? And nobody says anything. Bull, but I know it's my Aereo. Chrome Soft, Callaway's number one selling tour ball. Most golfers love the combo, incredible distance, soft feel, short game, and you get that control. There's the Chrome Soft X, the ball designed to give elite players precision shot-making workability. And then Callaway's longest ball on tour, the Chrome Soft XLS. Chrome Soft, find it today. CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. I'm watching you, Mario.